Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministry, along with Life Support Garden Church in our third row ministry. For all that he's doing and all that he's talking to, he is such an awesome God. The Lord shall count when he writeth up people that this man was born there, as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. I have just read you Psalms 87 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're going to have a song. I'm going to get it together in a minute, y'all.
Can you imagine standing before the king? Oh. I can only imagine what it would be like when I'm one. I could only imagine, yeah, what my feet would say here before me. I can only imagine.
Only
When that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun, I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine to be surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance? Oh, Jesus, oh, in all you be still. Will I
in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace, Lord, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we come tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we confessing and repenting and asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we come this evening, Lord, just to give you praise tonight, God. We give you glory. We magnify your name, God. We glorify you, God. We lift your name up that all men may see, that you may draw all men unto you, God. We just bless your holy name on tonight. We give you praise and we give you glory tonight. We magnify your name on tonight, God. We glorify your name on tonight, God. We just give you praise, God. We give you glory on tonight. We bless your holy name tonight, God. We just thank you, hallelujah. Lord, we come first of all asking you to bind up the strong man from this radio broadcast, God. We ask you to bind the strong man from our lives, Lord. And we ask you to bind up every demon that's listening in, that's trying to say things, that's chanting and all this kind of stuff, Lord. We ask you to bind them up, and we bind them up, and we cast them out, and we command them to go up in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to open up our understanding, open up our minds on tonight, in the name of Jesus. I ask you right now, Lord, to just look in our heart, Lord, and know every motive, God, and know everything about us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you to let me, Deborah, decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight, Lord. We need a word from this chapter, God. We need a word from our studies, Lord. We need a word from you on tonight, Lord. Lord, we just thank you now, and we give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. 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 And we thank and praise God. I was praying. He was talking to me. Thank you, Lord. But we're going to get ready to start our Bible class. We're in chapters, Genesis chapter 48 and 49. 48, it came to pass. After these things, that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Joseph, Jacob, and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz, and in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephraim, and I buried her there in the way of Ephraim, the same is Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's son and said, whose are these? And Joseph said unto his father, these are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see, and he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground, to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, toward Israel's hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn.
And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long until this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad and let my name be named on them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of this earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and also shall he shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee a Ephraim. And as Manasseh, and he said Ephraim before Manasseh, and Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hands of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow. 49. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourself together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourself together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiledst thou it. He went up to my porch. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come now, come not thou unto their secrets, unto their assembly. My honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whip from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crossed as a lion and as an old lion who shall rose him up. The sculptor shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and until him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine and his ass coat unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Reuben shall dwell at the heavens and of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be into Zidon, strong as couching down between two burdens. And he said, and he saw the rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulders to bear and become a servant unto tribute. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, and adder in the path that biteth the horse heel, so that his rider shall fall backwards. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, for he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat. He shall yield raw dainties. Naphtali, a hind let loose. A hind let loose. Wait a minute. He giveth goodly words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by will, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arm of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From this is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall heap thee, help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above blessings of my progenitors unto the uttermost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the heads of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people, buried me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mar, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for possession of a burial place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac, Rebekah his wife, and there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Amen. Ooh, that seemed like a lot. What my paper said. That seemed like a lot, I guess. All righty, y'all. Let's see what we got going on here. Amen. The first question here. It says, who were Jacob's two sons? Joseph's sons. I'm getting that name mixed up. Who was Joseph's two sons? Anybody know who Joseph's two sons were?
Manasseh and Ephraim.
Yes, ma'am. What did they become to Jacob?
Jacob, he adopted them.
As his own son. Yes, ma'am. Which of Joseph's sons did Jacob bless first? Which one of them sons he blessed first? The youngest
Ephraim.
Son first. Ephraim. What was Jacob's blessing for Joseph? them and he blessed everybody. But he told Joseph, he blessed Joseph one portion of inheritance above the rest of his brothers. And that's, now we're on chapter 49. What was Reuben's blessings?
I didn't really understand this. I didn't see a blessing for Reuben. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Help me out.
I saw a little curse or something.
Absolutely. He said he would not excel. Why?
Reuben had.
Because of humor.
Go ahead, baby. Go ahead.
Okay. Because it's like because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou me.
Mm-hmm. He slept with his father's wife. One of his wives. Mm-hmm. Okay. How were Simeon and Levi blessed? Do anybody
they
remember?
They was not blessed. They was actually cursed. And
well, absolutely. I don't think they calling them curses in here. They still call them blessings. Mm-hmm. Cause
I didn't understand it.
They weren't real.
Levi is the tribe of priesthood, right?
Right. Right. But they still, Simeon and Levi, they would be divided and scattered in Israel. Mm-hmm. They would be divided. We're going to go back over, and we're just going to do the questions, and I'm going to go back over and explain a lot of this stuff because a lot of it was not understandable. You have to really, really dig deep because it's like prophecies all through, up and through here. What was Judah's blessing?
The tribe that the Messiah would come from.
The Messiah would come from that tribe. But he would receive praise from his brothers. Mm-hmm. And they would bow down to him. And kingship would always be in his house. That's absolutely right. The tribe of, that's what the tribe Jesus was coming out of. Mm-hmm. Where did Jacob wish to be buried?
That's where they, is it Jerusalem?
No.
Canaan, where they
came
from?
Mm-hmm, from
Canaan.
From Machpelah, in the land of in Canaan. Mm-hmm. Who also is buried there?
Abraham.
That's in 31, verse 31. Yep. And Isaac and Rebecca, his wife. And Leah was buried there. So that's where Jacob wanted to be buried with his fathers. Rachel wasn't buried there, but he wasn't so much worried about that. because Leah was buried there. That ain't why he wanted to be buried there. He wanted to be buried there because of his father's was there. So we're just gonna talk about this chapter 49 because it's packed full of stuff. This is a very, very good chapter. Let me see. And Jacob called unto his sons. But let me do this first about most of the time in this generation, the younger was always the one ahead of the older, and they was blessing the younger before they would bless the older. That's what when the two grandsons came in, because you know these grandsons gonna end up being tribes too, and you know it says the 12 tribes, but you can really say 13 tribes, really you can, but and I'm like in 48, but Manasseh and Ephraim both going to be tribes, and that's making up the 12 tribe plus one. The two grandsons of Joseph will each become a tribe, and one will conclude that there are 13 tribes of Israel since there are 12 sons, and now the two sons of Joseph are each to become tribes. There was no tribe for Joseph, but there were the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. Ephraim and Manasseh are over 17 years old. They were born before Jacob came to Egypt. So Jacob lived 17 years there, so they both was over 17. And like I said, both of them going to become tribes. And Jacob's mind goes back to Rachel, his beloved, the mother of Joseph. And then went over in verse 7 or verse 5 and 6, 48 and 7. And then on down, it was talking about, and I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. See, Isaac couldn't really see that good either. That's how that boy, he lost that boy's birthright, because he thought he was blessing Esau and he was blessing Jacob, because he couldn't see that well. So it's the same thing with Jacob. It's the same thing. He couldn't see that well, but he saw good enough to know that Joseph had put Manasseh, the oldest, first, up to the right side. And so when he got ready to bless them, he switched the hands and put their right hand on the youngest. Joseph didn't like that, but that's the way it was back then, because, you know, even down to David, out of all those brothers David had, Samuel picked the youngest one to be king. So it was something back then with the younger or the youngest of the siblings at that point. Ephraim is to become the leader above Manasseh. And later on, we would see that the tribe of Manasseh marched under the banner of the tribe of Ephraim in the wilderness march. And it's over in Numbers. And Joshua came out of the tribe of Ephraim. That's where Joshua came from. And in that tribe was great men from that tribe. They were great men.
even though Jacob could not see too well, like I said, he seen what Joseph did. But he did what God had instructed him to do. And like I said, Jacob crossed his hands and blessed Ephraim first. And they're going to be a mighty, mighty, mighty nation. The angels which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad, bless Ephraim, Manasseh, and Ephraim. He has nothing to boast about except wonderful Redeemer. He lifting God up. And that's why I know Joseph, God had changed him. He had more faith. He trusted God more in everything. It was just a blessing. This was a blessed lesson. When I got to reading and studying, I said, this is good, but 49 is where everything really happened. Back here where he called the boys together. He called Simeon and Levi. Remember how they went to Shechem and killed all the inhabitants of the city because of one man was guilty of raping their own sister. See, they did that because they had raped Diana. And it goes to show you, all that time, they hadn't said nothing else about it, but Jacob, that stuff, Jacob told them about it. They took their revenge out on the whole town, and they should not have done that. So they killed a lot of people in the town because they did, they told them if they got circumcised, I think, or something like that, and why them men was messed up. They killed the whole town. They shot the whole town, messed everybody up. They didn't repent. And then over here in 49 and 8, let me see. In 49 and 9, where they're talking about Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brother shall praise, thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies, thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ came from the line of Judah, and it is before him that all will bow. And 49 says, Judah is a lion's whip for the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? He is one of the most remarkable prophecies in the scripture right here. And it's going to come back up again. This scripture scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from before his feet until Shiloh come. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Until Shiloh come, Shiloh is the ruler. This is one of the more remarkable prophecies in all the word of God. We have been told that there would be a seed of the woman. That's it. In the beginning of Genesis, that was the first prophecy of Christ. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3 and 15. The seed of the woman is the one who will do the bruising of his head. He will be the one who to get the victory. The first prophecy was in Genesis, then that seed was confirmed to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now it is confirmed to Judah. Out of Judah's line,
he is coming. Also, the word shallow means rest and tranquility. Christ is the one who will bring rest. Remember that when the Lord Jesus walked here on earth, he turned from those who had rejected him, and he said to the Paulins, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will rest you. Matthew chapter 11 and 28. That is Shiloh. Shiloh had come. And not only is Christ Shiloh, but also he is the one who will hold the scepter of the universe and will be held in Nail-Pierced hand, because he is the Christ. And in the last part of verse 24 of this chapter, from God's will come the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So this Shiloh is also a shepherd and a stone, which is Christ. And when we get to Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, we will find that a star is prophesied. Think of all that the coming of Christ means. He is the seed promised to the woman and to the patriarch. He is the Shiloh who bringeth rest. He is the king who holds the scepter. He is the shepherd who gave his life. And he is the chief shepherd who is coming someday. He is the stone that the builders disallowed, but who has now become the head stone of the corner. He is the star, the bright and morning star for the church. This is the line that went from Adam to Seth after Abel was murdered, and from Seth it went through Noah to Shem and to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and now to Judah. This is God is moving according to the pattern that he wants and purpose he wants to move. This is a very important part, because all of that was powerful and full of just good stuff that we need to remember and be blessed by. Because he is the stone that the builders rejected, but now he has become the head cornerstone. It's just a blessing. It's a blessing. I just read and read and read. And then what is it? Zebulun in 49 and 13. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be far in haven of ships, and his borders shall be unto Zidon. Zebulun was the tribe which lived along the coast up in the north part of the land. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens, and he saw that rest was good and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto the tribute. Issachar was also finally located way up in the north part of the land. And they were the ones who did a great deal of the work that constituted the backbone of the nation. They were the workers, and that is the thought here. We hear a great deal about the silent majority today. That is the average person like you and me. We don't get on TV and all this kind of stuff. But we just a few in number, just like the end-time men and women of war, life support. But in prayer and studying, we like the backbone of the church. We the backbone because we praying and we studying and we doing the things that we supposed to do. They were little tribes, Zebulun and Issachar, which we tend to pass over. But really, they was the backbone holding all them nations together, Issachar and Zebulun. And it just put me in the mind how we stay in the Word and how we trying to practice the things that the Lord had told us to do in the Word of God, and how we trying to help people and help one another and through the things. Or we didn't come like that, but God transformed us like that, just like he doing everybody else in this chapter, and even Jacob, how he, because Jacob started off as a man in his flesh and doing things in his power and his strength, and he thought he didn't need God like he's supposed to do. He even had nerve to wrestle with the angel, wrestle with God, and try to take what he wanted. But, honey, God hit him in the hip. What you do always brings on a consequence, always brings something on the end. He left with a limp, or he wrestled with God all night long, but it did not work, because God is all-powerful, because man ain't nothing but man. He could have been and kicked him out. He could have thumped him on his head and made him lose his mind, but God said, no, I want him to know that he can't wrestle with me. His arms is too short to box with me. He can't handle me, so I'm going to have to, you know, I love him. I love him, but I'm going to have to hit him in his hip. I love Abraham, and I love Isaac, and I love Jacob, too. But they, his father's one doing this, so I'm going to have to make him always remember this thorn in the flesh. I'm going to have to make him remember this is the time that I will never do again. So he hit Jacob in that hip, and he left limping and always had that limp. And he left with three legs, because he always had to have that staff with him, or walking cane, whatever thing you want to call it. But it was something how Jacob, God transformed Jacob. And now at the end of his life, at the end of his days, on his deathbed, he remembered all the things that God brought him through, how he fed him when he was hungry, how he watched over him and his family, how he brought him all the way from where Rachel was, and all them years he stayed there working for Leah and Rachel, and all the things that God provided him and blessed his children and blessed his grandchildren. I tell you, and then he had them 12 sons and ended up with 13. I tell you, God is a good God. God is a good God. And Jacob, in the end, he trusted God. The reason why I tell you he trusted God, because he remembered that Abraham said he was going to be raised up in the last days. And his father Isaac said the same thing. So he wanted to be buried where they were buried, where his fathers were buried, so he could be raised up too. And he couldn't see it, but he knew it. He believed God. He believed that he was going to be raised up in the last days when the Lord Jesus Christ come back. Man, that was just so powerful to me. It was so powerful to me. Mm-hmm. And then over, I think it was 26 or 27, where that Jacob is trying to tie Joseph and the two tribes which will come from him back to the God of Israel, the creator, the redeemer. The tribes, especially Ephraim, led Israel into idolatry. Jeroboam, who led in the rebellion and placed the two golden calves at Israel's borders, came from the tribe of Ephraim. So it wasn't Ephraim himself, but that idolatry was in the camp of Ephraim. So on his deathbed, Jacob calls them back and back to God of his fathers. Mm-hmm. And Benjamin shall be the raven as a wolf. So this is a strange prophecy concerning Benjamin. Benjamin was closely identified with Judah, so much so that Benjamin went with the tribe of Judah at the division of the kingdom. The tribe of Benjamin was the only one that stayed with the house of David. His tribe was the only one. Anybody have anything to say? I just went to town, didn't I?
I'm sorry.
Anybody got something to say? I'm sorry.
I thought you was about to preach.
No, it was so good to me. I read and studied and read and studied. It was just so good to me. Mm-hmm. It was good to me. Yeah, it was good to me. So I just thank and praise God for this. We got one more chapter in Genesis, and we'll do that on Tuesday. We're just going to do that one chapter on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, we'll start in Exodus. Mm-hmm. We're going to do 50, and I think it's got about 3 or 4 questions to it. And then we're going to start off fresh Thursday in Exodus chapter 1. And anybody have any questions? It says, I'm reading here in my book, it says, at Peninnah, God crippled him. God had to break him to get him. And I thank God, was prepared to break his neck. I do too. And he went limping the rest of his life. Because here he is trying to wrestle with God. I'm telling you, these people scare me when they call themselves mad, when upset with the Lord. I ain't never been up. That's one person I ain't never been upset with. And ain't nothing been his fault for me. Everything is my fault because, you know, we the ones leave him. He don't never leave us. I don't care if we laying in screwing everybody on the block. He won't leave us. He ain't gonna stay. The Holy Spirit ain't gonna stay in your body while you're doing it. But he ain't gonna leave us. He gonna leave the door open. So when you get ready to come, he right there saying, "Come on, I forgive you. Repent. I forgive you." So we got to be careful with that part of the thing. We just got to be careful, you know. And we got to stay.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
I think that when we do turn our back on God, I think that God have a way of making us prove that we ain't gonna do it no more. Like we go through life so rough, like we get it back. I got it back 10 times fold, and I was begging God, please help me. I would never do it again. Mm-hmm. So I feel like just like with our parents, when we do our parents wrong, and we have to build that trust mm-hmm. back up. Even though God know what we going to do, we still have to prove it to him that we not going to do it. And that's I feel like that's where my faith came in stronger, because I struggled so hard and God had me to going through that, because I turned my back on God. And for 4 years, I suffered. I couldn't find a job. Everything wasn't right. And when I realized what it was, And I fell to my knees and I told God I was so sorry. Then things started turning around slowly, but eventually, you know, it started turning around for me.
Yeah.
So I think we have to earn our trust back with God. And wrestling with God, oh, baby, no. You really have to earn your trust back with God, because he created you and he the Father. And what he say, go.
Yeah.
And he not going to put us in nothing that's going to hurt us.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to say.
Lord, now when I tell you, it's like that. Because who was that? Simeon. And who was that? Simeon and his brother, whoever he was. Levi. Mm-hmm. They killed all them people. Because that man raped his sister. You know, that stuff come back to bite you. Especially if you don't repent. And even if you repent, God still chastens us. He chastens those who he loves. So, he still chastens us. And we got to know that we have to repent daily. And we have to repent so many times a day. That's the thing. We think, oh, we get up in the morning, Father, I repent. You just getting up. You ain't did number But he woke you up and you got up. But you better wait until about 12 o'clock and see how many negative and bad thoughts went through your mind. You know, this thing right here, when I tell you, I have learned. And then another thing, you don't learn all this stuff when you first. This is what I was telling you about, how at first Jacob was living out of his flesh. And then second, I could say the first 20 years of his life or maybe 30 years. Then after 30 years, he was trying to live out of his strength like he was doing everything. But, honey, when them years got to passing and he had to call on the name of the Lord, and are he looking around at the people of God and how they were prospering and how God was blessing them, and he's trying to live out of his strength, and everything he was doing was falling, and he happened to fight this person, and how many years he had to stay at, what's his name, Rachel's daddy, how he many years he had to stay there and all this kind of stuff, and he had to just be humble and work there all those years for them two girls. And then they had nerve to wrestle with the angel out of his own strength. Like I said, all God had to do was thump him on his head with a bust his brains open. But he allowed him because he was teaching him. He was building his patience and his faith. Mm-hmm. He still had to get hit with that limp. See, these are consequences to every action that you do like that. It's a consequence behind everything that you do, good or bad. If you do something good, you can expect good to follow you. But if you do bad things, bad is going to follow you, honey. Believe that. Bad is going to follow you. So, you know, this is something we have to really pay attention to. This is some good teaching and some good learning. And like I said, on up to my 25, 30 years, I was living in the flesh. And when I did get in church, I had one foot in and one foot out, still doing stupid stuff. Then when the Holy Spirit took over me, then I started trying to, you know, listen. And even to then, I wasn't perfect. You know, you talking about people and negative thinking and all kind of stuff like that, gossiping. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can and repent, but you're going to get whooped. You're going to get spanked. You're going to get chastened. You know, I hear people say, well, I ain't taking communion because I did this. You better take communion. You better repent. You scared to repent? Repent. God give us a way of escape all the time. We can't do this because God will give you a way of escape. He'll open the door for you to get out of that thing. Repent and walk away. Repent and tell God you're sorry and see what happens. Repent. That's our way of escape. Because we know when we repent, God's going to lift the burden. He's going to give us rest, take every heavy burden off of us. And we're going to walk out of there powerful. More powerful than when we came in. But we got to trust God and take him at his word. We got to trust him. All those blessings that he called blessed on his sons, he come out of his loins, his sons. He just told the truth. He told it just like it was. He didn't sugarcoat for them. He said, look, I love you, but this is what's going to happen. And I love you too, but you know when you killed all them people over there in that town for just one thing that they did to your sister? You killed everybody, took it out on the whole town. You got to pay for this. So I'm letting you know, on my deathbed, I got to tell the truth. So he did. And those were his children that he loved. You know, so when it all boils down to it, it's all about truth. It's all about truth. And God watches us. God trying to see whether we going to do what we supposed to do or not. We got to do it. We got to do it. We don't have no other choice. We don't have an option. Ain't no other option for this but the truth. Amen. So I thank and praise God for y'all. I'm so excited still. I got to try to come down before I can lay down tonight. But I just thank God for each one of you that's on this radio broadcast. I want to wish everybody a happy birthday that's got a birthday this month or last month. Dante and all the rest of them, Big Chew, Little Chew, Prophet Sala, and Little Prophet Sala, or whatever. Just want to wish everybody a happy birthday, and God bless you all. I love y'all so much, and we're going to get ready to close out. God, we just thank you. Anybody got something to say? I'm going to close out. Father, we just thank you on tonight, God. We just thank you for your word. Thank you for opening up our understanding and our heart, Lord. We just thank you on tonight. Bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless their families, their children, their husbands, their wives, God. Keep them all covered under the blood of Jesus. Lead and guide them in the way they should go. Lord, we love you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. We'll be right back here tomorrow night for our praise, prayer, and prophecy hour. And I feel a heavy prophetic anointing on me because when I was praying in devotion, I got a word from the Lord for a couple of people. I didn't say it right then because he didn't tell me to say it right then. But I'm just going to keep praying and stuff. And tomorrow night I will. And invite somebody to the praise, prayer, and prophecy hour, somebody that you know might need a word from the Lord. God bless you all. You all have a good night. I love you. Good night.
Nice. Happy birthday, everyone. Prophetess Adler.
Love you guys. Good night.
Thank
you.
Happy
good
birthday,
night.
Prophetess Adler and everyone.
Amen.
Amen. God bless.